There's approximately 240 million human beings around the world that are at risk for practicing their faith. They are Christians. And we're going to talk about this right now with Wendy Wright, who's the president of Christian Freedom International, which is one of the great organizations helping the persecuted church around the world. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Wendy Wright, it's so great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure to be on.
240 million people, that's a lot of people. That is certainly the majority of the population of America at about 330 million. That's it'd be like, if that were on the American scene, that would be, you know, about three-quarters of our population. It's huge.
It is, and actually that number has gotten even higher. It's 260 million Christians around the world that live in places that have high risk of persecution. It's mind-boggling, and so that's why we're trying to raise awareness and find ways to help them to endure the persecution. Now, we know Jesus said that if he's persecuted, then we will be as well. And so how can we help those that are persecuted to endure with a strengthened faith and to survive is the work that Christian Freedom International is doing.
Huh. Okay. Most of these countries in which this is happening would be the Muslim countries and then the few communist countries that are left.
That's right. So you've got the communist countries like China, Vietnam, Cambodia, and of course the Muslim countries, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and others. And then you got like the extreme of North Korea, which is like it's a communist country, but it's really almost a theocracy based around Kim Jong-un.
Huh. And there are Christians in North Korea that you know of for sure?
Yes, there are secret Christians, and we know because there are many that escape. There are many people that escape, and now under COVID, it's become much more difficult for people to escape North Korea. They've sealed off their borders even more so. But we know through those who have escaped that there are Christians who are inside, and for many of those who do escape, they end up becoming Christians. And so that's why we work to get food and Bibles into North Korea. Now, 40% of people in North Korea, according to the UN, are undernourished. And so the food is to help them to anyone who can receive it to survive. And then the Bibles is to whether introduce them to Jesus Christ or for those that know him to have an actual Bible in their hands to strengthen their faith to endure that persecution that they suffer.
Is it illegal to have a Bible in North Korea? And if so, and they find you with one, what happens?
Yes, it is illegal, and it's illegal even to pray to anyone other than Kim Jong-un or his grandfather, Kim Il-sung, the founder of North Korea. And so, yes, if they're found, they will be put into a prison camp. But there are many who are willing because they do understand that there's more than this life. Now, this year, or just earlier, there were 9 Bibles that were found at a market in North Korea. They have these just outdoor markets. And the police took them, and people in the market were talking about it all day. And there were rumors that of secret worship services. And what they meant by that is they would see people in the market who would close their eyes and murmur, and they were interpreting that as that they were praying and worshiping. So this information was snuck out to one of our contacts that is getting radio broadcasts of Christian information and news from the outside world, these broadcasts into North Korea. And those who hear the broadcast inside North Korea, many of them are smuggling information out so that we can have even just an inkling of what's happening inside that hermit kingdom.
Huh. Contrast North Korea and South Korea, and what difference does Christianity make in the difference between the two?
Well, South Korea considers that their founding of their modern country to be very similar as America, that it was founded on Christian beliefs, and they feel a very close tie to the United States. Now, sadly, the current leadership of South Korea, the president, is pro-Kim Jong-un. He has been making policies and getting laws passed to appease that horrible dictator of North Korea. And just recently, the parliament in South Korea passed a ban on sending literature into North Korea that's anti-North Korea literature. And that was done at the behest of the North Korean regime. North Korean regime does not want information coming in that exposes how rotten and evil that regime is. And it's just really shocking that the current South Korean government is obeying the demands of North Korea, and in so doing are denying the people of North Korea the truth.
But as far as, let's say, the Bible is banned in North Korea. Would that be included then that the South Koreans can't send Bibles? I mean, it would. Nobody can send Bibles legally to North Korea. But as far as South Korea itself, in terms of churches, in terms of Christianity, comment on that. Because, I mean, I've seen, even as a case study, you look at the Korean Peninsula at night, the satellite images of them, and you see North Korea is all dark except for the one, you know, the capital city. And then you look at South Korea, and it's, you know, as lit up as a Christmas tree. And the difference is, you know, capitalism and freedom versus oppression and, so you know, communism. And frankly, it's faith versus unbelief.
It is, because South Korea was their founding constitution was heavily influenced and perhaps even written by a Christian. And so you really do see the stark contrast of light and darkness, country that is founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs versus a country that's founded on totalitarianism.
Huh. Okay, comment on China, if you would. Is China probably the worst persecutor of Christians around the world, or would that dishonor go to North Korea?
Yeah, so North Korea tops the list of the worst on every list.
Okay.
And then China is China is so vast. It's so huge that there are far more people that are impacted, and the fact that China is encroaching into the rest of the world. And so, yes, China is has been ramping up the oppression and persecution against Christians and every faith, every religion. And they've been turning churches into indoctrination centers for atheism and communism. China has been banning the teaching of children any religion, any faith. That means that they're not allowed, anyone under 18 is not allowed to go to church. Teachers at schools are not allowed to mention anything about religion. And in fact, there are teachers that have been jailed for up to even 2 years, perhaps longer, for being accused of teaching children about Jesus. So China has embarked on a hard campaign to eliminate any challenge to allegiance to Xi Jinping and communism.
Okay, is the church dying in China?
Well, the word that we hear, as we've heard for many decades in China, is the church is thriving, and they have prepared for persecution. They knew that this would be coming, and a while ago, the several pastors, evangelical pastors, who were aware that just the fact that they are teaching the truth about Jesus Christ and they are discipling people, that they would be a target of the Chinese communist regime. And in fact, they were arrested, they've been jailed. Well, they had prepared a statement ahead of time that was to be released if and when they were arrested. And this statement was a very bold proclamation that no matter what the regime, the communist regime of China, does to them, they will not relent. They will not deny Jesus Christ.
Huh. And I understand that there's slave labor that's going on in China. And this is kind of interesting. It's my understanding that the largest subgroup of people that are forced into slave labor is some sort of version of Muslims within China. But ironically, there were some attempts in the American Congress to try and shine the light on that. And some of the major American corporations that profit from that slave labor, including Nike, said, no, don't do that. So here's Nike. You know, their big spokesman is Colin Kaepernick. Oh, look at the terrible things that, you know, happened to black people in America 150 years ago. That was terrible, the slavery and so forth. But haven't we kind of gotten rid of that? Hello? And meanwhile, you've got slave labor in China. Talk about that, the slave labor in China.
Yes, slavery is happening today in the Uyghur region of China and in other places throughout the world. And I would really hope that those that are speaking out on behalf of Black Lives Matter and others would pay attention to those who are being horribly persecuted and enslaved today in other parts of the world. They need that loud voice on their behalf. Now, Uyghurs are an ethnic minority group that China has been trying to eliminate for quite a while, and they've turned that region into basically a concentration camp. There are concentration camps inside that region. There are even some Uyghur Muslims who have converted to Jesus Christ, but being Uyghur, they also are being jailed and oppressed. So slavery is alive and well in China. There are some brave people in Congress who are trying to ensure that the free market is not being used in order to subsidize and promote the slavery that's occurring in that region. And it's incredibly shocking to know that some of the biggest corporations in America, the wealthiest corporations in America, like you said, Nike and Apple and others, had lobbyists in Washington, D.C. trying to weaken the bill that would ban the import of goods from that Uyghur region of China.
Okay, we have just a few minutes remaining as we talk about persecution. We cannot leave the subject of Islam, and let's close out the program with that. Go ahead and just wax eloquent about the Muslim world and Christians.
Yeah, well, we're really concerned about these jihadist militant groups like the Islamic State, Boko Haram. Now, the Islamic State was eliminated from the Iraq region.
Thank you, Trump.
They were trying to create a caliphate. But what's happened is they're emerging in other areas, and they've been sadly creating a genocide in Africa. Boko Haram is an Islamic State-linked terrorist organization in Nigeria that has been so active that many people consider that they are causing a genocide in Nigeria. So I really encourage people to pray for Christian brothers and sisters in these regions where these jihadist militants have been creating massacres and kidnappings and destroying homes and villages and churches and causing a genocide.
The Middle East peace deals that President Trump was able to work out, how does that impact Christians in the Middle East?
Yes, well, it's certainly the countries that have signed on these peace deals have been recognizing and become more open to Jews and Judaism. And so this is a massive change.
But what about Jesus believers?
And so the fact that now that they're like opening up to the idea of the Abrahamic religions. So the three major religions that consider Abraham as their a founding father of their religion. So that would be Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. This effort under the Trump administration to bring together the Abrahamic religions to recognize the common background it's almost like an earthquake that's occurred. And I really hope and pray that that effort will continue into the future, that the momentum will not finish with any change of an administration.
Okay, we have 30 seconds to wrap up. Your website, by the way, is christianfreedom.org, correct? And what would you like to
say?
That's right. 30 seconds, Wendy writes.
I encourage people to go visit our website, christianfreedom.org. You can see and learn more about those who are being persecuted, but also how ways that you can help by praying, by telling others, and by giving to help our brothers and sisters throughout the world so they can endure the persecution and be lights shining in the darkness of where God has placed them.
And is the church growing even in those places? I mean, you mentioned that with China. 10 seconds. Is the church growing despite the persecution?
Yes. Yes, I'll tell you about one area where we work in Bangladesh. Terrible persecution, particularly those who are converts from Islam and Hindu and Buddhism. And yet, in this past year, under COVID, under lockdown, there were over 98 new believers in Jesus Christ that are coworkers who they baptized.
ChristianFreedom.org for more information. Thank you so much, Wendy. All the best.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.